This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome into the happy hour. Gwen and Chris with you on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Hello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., on his way over to the ballpark, we'll have tonight's game, the spring training affair between the Padres and the Colorado Rockies, coming up at 6:30 tonight. Tony will be on the call, of course, alongside the voice of Padre baseball, Jesse Agler. You'll hear the game following our show here tonight. Then Scraby and I head out to Peoria, and we'll be there broadcasting live tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, live Gwen and Chris from Peoria, Arizona, site of Padres spring training. Don't miss it. Starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big story today, the World Baseball Classic Championship game. They are underway in Florida. And they are tied up 1-1 in the bottom of the second inning. Trey Turner continuing to swing the hot bat for Team USA, hit his fifth home run of this tournament to give the U.S. a 1-0 lead in the top of the second. But Munetaka Murakami answered with a long blast into the upper deck off Merrill Kelly in the
bottom.
That was
some power.
Of the second inning. Yeah, that ball was assaulted.
That's a great word for it. Cause...
just he got all of that one.
Yes, he did.
So 1-1, Japan is batting in the bottom of the second inning of the championship game. We'll keep you up to date here as this program moves along. Rob Manfred says, hey, I want more star pitchers in the next World Baseball Classic.
Oh.
The good news there is that there will be a World Baseball Classic. Rob Manfred saying today that it's 100% that the tournament will return in 2026. Manfred did say, it's great the guys that we have, but I'd like to see pitching staffs that are the same quality as our position players. Again, he's going to have trouble getting pitchers to sign up for this. Max Scherzer's reasoning is shared by a lot of pitchers out there, that their arms aren't ready to pitch at this high of a level at this point in the season. And I don't know when you could have the World Baseball Classic. I mean, you can't do it in November or December. It's quite too cold.
And they just got done playing a season.
You know, yeah, exactly. And to me, I don't think you can play it during the course of the Major League Baseball season either.
No.
I mean, even though pitchers' arms are going to be built up, who's going to want to take 2 weeks off of the baseball season for a tournament? I'm not going to want that.
No.
And I don't think too many fans are going to like it either. So March is about the only month you can play this tournament. I don't know that you'll ever get the high-quality roster of pitchers that you have compared to the baseball position players. But we will keep you up to date on the game here. Other news today in the sports world, Ja Morant continuing to try to manage his stress as he looks to return to the Memphis Grizzlies. He did participate in his first practice today following his 8-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the National Basketball Association. Morant describes his attempt to find better ways to manage stress as an ongoing process. The Grizzlies anticipate that Morant will be back for tomorrow night's game against the Houston Rockets. He spent 11 days in a Florida counseling facility in the wake of brandishing a handgun during that early morning Instagram live video stream on March the 4th. His teammate Dylan Brooks will not be playing in the game tomorrow night, though. Brooks got his league-leading 18th technical foul in a game last night for taunting the Dallas Mavericks bench by appearing to wave pom-poms in the direction of a player that Brooks perceived to be kind of a cheerleader rather than a player.
It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny, I must tell you. I got a good laugh out of that one.
And Dylan Brooks is finally better at than Draymond Green at something. Getting technicals.
Yeah, he's ahead of Draymond Green in that category, that's for sure. The Dallas Cowboys in football news today have added veteran running back Ronald Jones to their roster. Jones played bits and pieces of the last few seasons with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then last year the Kansas City Chiefs, although he appeared in only six games last year, after spending 4 years with Tampa Bay. So Jones, who rushed for nearly 1,000 yards in the Bucks Super Bowl season of 2021 or 2020?
2020.
Yeah, the year of the COVID Super Bowl.
Yes, the COVID Super Bowl.
In Tampa Bay.
They had all the first responders there.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the sports news. Of course, we're getting ready for Friday, and the Aztecs shot in the Sweet 16 against Alabama. We'll have some more on the Crimson Tide coming up in this hour. Give you a chance to listen in on our visit with Nick Alvarez of AL.com talking about the powerhouse Alabama basketball team that the Aztecs will be facing. We'll hear from Brian Dutcher in just a little bit. But right now, I thought we'd update you on some comments from Bob Melvin today down in spring training. Bob usually speaks in the morning, but with the Padres playing a night game this evening, Bob speaking late this afternoon, getting us the latest on all kinds of different stories. There's a lot we want to know about, including an update on Juan Soto's oblique injury and Austin Nola, who was hit in the nose by a pitch the other day. Here's Bob Melvin on both of those guys.
He's in an MRI tube as we speak, or he was earlier today. We're thinking it's fairly mild, which hopefully is the case. Backside, kind of precautionary to get out of there, and hopefully we caught a break on that.
Will your catcher start the season with you?
There is a chance. There is a chance he could be in a game before we leave here. So I don't know if you've seen him. It's remarkable to me. You know, there's a slight fracture on the nasal bone or whatever they're calling it, but no black eyes, not a ton of swelling, pretty remarkable. So he could be doing baseball activity as soon as tomorrow or the next day. Mild. Obviously, we don't want any setbacks as far as this went, but I'm shocked.
His position, how does that kind of affect proceedings going forward? Because that's a tough spot. That's a tough spot to have to deal with
right.
The catcher.
You know, the one... You know, if it gets hit again, then it could be a potential issue. But that's why he wears a mask, right? And hopefully at the plate, you know, he's had some protection there with the flap and such.
I love it. I love it. Bob Melvin. Dr. Bob Melvin there.
The nasal
questions
bone.
The nasal bone or whatever they call it. And talking about Austin Nola. That's terrific news about Austin Nola.
Seriously.
That you could end up having him back in time for the start of the season. And the first day was talking about Juan Soto there being in the MRI tube and saying that from everything he understands, the oblique injury going to be mild, shouldn't be a big deal, going to make sure. But sounds like Juan Soto got out of there without any serious problem, at least at the moment.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So those are two bits of good news from the Padres, certainly. Bob Melvin's hilarious.
I also like Bob Melvin. Yeah, I also like how at the end...
Well, that's why he wears a mask.
Yeah. Like it's still not going to hurt if he gets hit in the face with a broken nose.
If somebody foul tips one off his face mask, that's going to be painful, but hopefully it shouldn't add to...
Well, Bo Mel's a catcher back in the day when it was, like, real tough to be a catcher.
He was back in the day before they had masks.
Yeah.
They just toughed it out back there. More from Bob Melvin here on Yu Darvish, who did not start the game tonight for Japan, Team Japan. From what we understand, he's available to pitch, although he hasn't come into the game or warmed up. They're only in the second inning. But Darvish and his chances of, we know he's going to return to the Padres in the next couple of days because the WBC's over. But what is going to be the situation with Darvish moving forward?
We'll make the plans if he does pitch. We're not sure. I know he's available to pitch. If he doesn't, then obviously we'll get him off a mound and try to get him, you know, throwing as quickly as we can and, you know, as many innings as we possibly can. So you know, not a ton of communication as far as what we're looking at tonight, whether he's going to pitch or not.
He was going to start, and then he wasn't. So
I'm not sure. I think that was a little premature, maybe.
Does it matter, like, how much he pitches tonight, and does he go to the bullpen afterward? I mean, supposedly he threw 72 pitches last time. Like, what's the best-case scenario here?
I mean, for who? For us or them?
for the Padres.
Maybe that he doesn't pitch tonight and we get him off a mound here for three or four innings or whatever it is soon thereafter. But he's there for a reason. If he pitches tonight, it's great. You can try to help them win, and that's why he went there. So I temper when I say what's good for us.
My favorite line there from Bob Melvin in that answer about Yu Darvish was when he was asked what the situation was with Darvish coming back and whether he'd pitch tonight, and Bob said, well, there's not been a ton of discussion and communication. That, to me, means there's been none.
Yeah.
There's been absolutely no communication back and forth.
Which is surprising to me.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you let the guy play, and that's fine. I commend it. I support it.
Me too.
If Darvish has to miss a game at the beginning of the season and pitch the fourth game of the season, so be it. He wanted to pitch for his country. I would not stop the guy who wants to pitch for his country. I have no problem with the Padres allowing Darvish to go.
Me neither.
They're going to just deal with the circumstances such as they are. But like I said, he hasn't pitched in the game yet. He hasn't warmed up yet. Doesn't mean he won't pitch later on in this championship game, which is still 1-1. Japan batting in the bottom of the second inning. One last note. We had good news on Soto. Good news on Austin Nola. Not a ton of communication on Darvish. But what about Drew Pomeranz? Are we likely to get to see Drew Pomeranz anytime soon? Apparently, the news, according to Bo Mel, not as good about Pomeranz.
His status is he got a mild setback and some inflammation in the back of the elbow, where he's had, you know, some setbacks before. I think he's out to 120 feet tomorrow, but we're not sure what day he gets off a mound again, so it would be tough to make opening day for him.
Yeah, tough to make opening day for Pomeranz.
And we've been talking about that a lot leading into the season.
Yeah, we don't really need to talk about it anymore.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to forget completely about Drew Pomeranz, but to me, no reason to really talk about him until he's available.
Yep.
And he's not going to be available at least until May. Maybe June.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to get him back thrown off a mound, and he's not even doing that yet. So those are some of the updates from Bob Melvin. But overall, pretty good news as the Padres head into tonight's spring game against the Colorado Rockies. Japan just got a run in on an RBI ground out with the bases loaded. So Team Japan has taken a 2-1 lead over the United States. Merrill Kelly's been taken out of this game. Already, Aaron Loop, a left-hander, is in for the U.S. team. Trey Turner hit a homer in the top of the second inning to give the U.S. an early 1-0 lead. Munetaka Murakami answered with a solo blast for Team Japan in the bottom of the second inning, and Japan still batting with a run in and a 2-1 lead.
One quick note that's also a good note is that Joe Musgrove says he's aiming for April 6th. To come back.
Joe Musgrove spoke today. Yes, that's right. We had that clip.
That's all good. Basically, what he says is he's working his way back, and that April 6th is the day he's aiming for.
So that's the second week of the season. There's nothing wrong with that. It starts on March 30th. April 6th will be about a week in. So not too bad news on Joe Musgrove when you consider the fact that he dropped a kettlebell on his toe and broke it.
I was just about to ask, do we know how heavy this kettlebell was? Because I haven't seen anything about how heavy it was.
It had to be at least What would you be working out?
50 pounds?
50?
Yeah.
Man, that'd be a lot.
I mean, Joe Musgrove's a much stronger guy than I am, so.
That would be pretty heavy.
That would be heavy.
50, I don't think. I'm not thinking 50, but I don't know. We'll have to ask. We'll have to ask No-No Toe Joe if indeed we see him.
No-No Toe Joe.
No-No Toe Joe when we see him in Peoria. All right, we're going to check some traffic when we come back. Going to focus in on the Aztecs. Brian Dutcher speaking to the media here in town ahead of the Aztecs' trip to Louisville for their Sweet 16 game on Friday. Hear what the Aztec coach had to say, and we'll do that when we come back with more Gwen and Chris.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 519 is the time. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Peoria. That's where the Padres and Rockies are tonight. We'll have the game for you right here on 97.3 The Fan at 6:30, about a half hour after our program is over. Tune in to listen to a little Padre baseball this evening. With Tony and Jesse, Scraby and I, while they're broadcasting, we'll be driving.
I keep forgetting.
Down to Peoria, and we'll be arriving there later tonight. Tony will have a buffet waiting for us after the ball game.
Yes, he will.
Then we'll settle in and be broadcasting live from Peoria, the sports complex, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Make sure you join the show. United States trails Japan 2-1. Americans batting in the top of the third inning. Trey Turner homered for the Americans in the top of the second inning. Munetaka Murakami answered with a solo shot for Japan. The Japanese would then add a run in the bottom of the second inning. So they're ahead 2-1 with the Americans up in the top of the third. Yu Darvish has not pitched nor warmed up yet tonight. Did you know, Trey Scraby? Yes, your name is Scraby.
I was going to say, am I Trey Turner? I would love to be Trey Turner today.
Yeah, Trey Turner. Yeah, no kidding. He's swinging a hot bat. Did you know that the San Diego State basketball team has a chance to accomplish something in the NCAA tournament that no team ever has accomplished?
Whoa.
Do you know what that is?
I do not. Chance? No.
The Aztecs are a number 5 seed. How about this? In the history of the tournament, and they started doing seedings in 1979.
Okay.
Right? So that's over 40-some-odd years of seeded teams. No number 5 team seeded has ever won the national championship.
Really?
None.
That's surprising.
That is kind of weird. Never has a 5 seed won. 2 number 6s have won. That was Kansas back in 88, North Carolina State in 83. 1 number 7 has won. That was UConn in 2014. And 1 number 8 has won. That was famously Villanova in 1985. But no number 5 has ever won the tournament. Aztecs are just 4 wins away from doing that.
Just 4 wins.
Just 4 easy wins is all it's going to take. Butler, by the way, in 2010.
I remember them.
They were the last number 5 to reach the championship game.
Mm.
But they did not win. So Aztecs can do something that nobody's ever done before. The Aztecs, of course, before they do that, have to beat a higher-seeded team, which is something they've never done before. They will effort to do that on Friday, of course, when they take on top-seeded Alabama. Brian Dutcher spoke to the media in San Diego today. Among the topics for Dutch to address, how the Aztecs can possibly slow down top NBA prospect and maybe the best player in the tournament, Brandon Miller.
If he's rolling, there's not a lot you can do other than double him. You know, and I watched the Gonzaga game today, and when he got going, they doubled him on ball screen, they doubled him on catches, and it's like Steph Curry or any of these guys in the NBA, they get going, you just have to run double them. So we'll have that available to us if we need to. Now, whether we start that way or whether we have to do it at some point in the game, we will have an ability to do that if we need to.
How good is your point guard?
Good. Both of them are. Sears and Quinterly are both good. They're both, you know, downhill all the time, and they're shifty. They're not like straight line drivers where if you catch the first move, it's over. They're going to go, and then they're going to cross over, and they're going to get in the paint. So that's going to create issues. So we're going to have to do a really good job of trying to limit that as best we can. But with that being said, that's what they do. They're going to get to their spots. Now, hopefully, we can contest shots, and if they kick out, we can contest threes. But they're going to get to where they want to get in a lot of these situations during the game.
Yeah, they're good, Alabama. I don't know if anybody's aware of that.
Chris, ever since we had the interview...
If you're not sure that they're good, listen to our interview at the bottom of the hour with Nick Alvarez from AL.com.
It really just took you to a new level of worried.
Yeah. I was already worried about this game. Now I'm extremely worried. One thing Alabama does better than I think a lot of people think they do is play defense. They have a really good defense. Talk about all their high-flying players, but... defensively, they're good. They don't allow you to shoot many threes or not open ones. One guy that could, you know, be nice to get him going, Adam Seiko, has not hit a three yet in the tournament in the first two games. Be nice if he could fill up a few on Friday. Brian Dutcher talked about trying to get him open.
Yeah, Adam's more of a catch-shoot player. Darion has the ball more because he's a point guard, and he's playing off more ball screens. So he might shoot if a guy ducks under a ball screen, raise up and shoot it in. Whereas... Adam finds it off a post touch. They kick it out to him, or we run a special play for him that we wouldn't run for Darion, where we try to disguise a screen where he comes off another screen and gets a shot. He's more of a catch-shoot player, so we need them both to make threes if we're going to advance in the tournament. We have to make some threes. So whether that's those two or Micah or Lamont or Matt, we have to make some threes in order to advance. And they're the... our opponents only shoot, I think, shoot 29% from three. Their opponents only shoot 26% from three. So it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to find out how those are going to come. We have some ideas of how to get some, and we'll see if it works.
I like Brian.
We'll see if it works.
We got a couple of ideas. I don't know. We'll see. You know, we're going to give it our best shot.
It just proves to me
he's got a great attitude.
He does.
He just has a great way of going about it. It's the perfect attitude you need to try and go in there and pull off this kind of upset.
It just proves to me how little I know about basketball when he's talking about two screens and crossover dribblers in the paint. I'm like, he's probably thinking about a million things, and I'm just watching the game thinking there's only one thing happening.
Yeah, no, they're totally looking at other things. There's no question. These basketball coaches are remarkable at the X's and O's and the film time that they put in, Scraby.
You said you already watched the Gonzaga-Alabama game?
Yeah, I've been to many film sessions with the women's team. And, and, you know, I learn a ton. I learn a ton watching these coaches talk about, you know, doubling and you know, sloughing off certain players and the way you run offense and the way you set screens and the way you use screens. It's more complicated than a lot of people would ever imagine.
That would be interesting to sit in on like a film session just to see how it's all broken down.
Yeah, they break it down. I mean, and these kids have a lot of studying to do before these games. I mean, they all get scouting reports, books. It's not like an NFL playbook or anything, but you got to know your scout on every single player on Alabama. You know, what they like to do and what you're going to try to do to prevent them from doing what they like to do. And every player's got a scout, and they got to deal with all kinds of different plays. These kids really work hard to get ready for these games. It's not all fun and games.
No.
In college or pro basketball, for that matter. Here's Dutcher one more time talking about his ability to deflect all of the attention to his kids. Or you're not. I don't mean it that. That's said wrong. But when he's asked about himself, he doesn't like to talk about himself.
No.
He likes to give all the credit to his kids. And he talked about why that is.
I mean, at some level, that's what they pay me to do, is to win basketball games. So I'm not trying to be over-emotional about winning in that. I've always been wired that way. That's what they pay us to do, is coach the team, get the best out of the team, and we're supposed to win. And we're supposed to win in March. We can't tell everybody we recruit that we want to win a Final Four or win a national championship and then act like we're super overly excited when we do win. So it's just how I'm wired. I'm more happy for the kids. You know, I've been to a number of them, and I don't take any of them for granted, but I like the guys that go for the first time, that came here in order to win games, and now they're winning games. And first-time experiences are always great for me to watch on the team and my coaches and that sort of thing.
Well, that comes from a guy who's been to the top of the mountain and won it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 1989. believe that or not, Scraby, you were 4 years old.
My brother was just
Brian
born.
When Brian Dutcher and Steve Fisher coached Michigan to the national championship.
That's crazy.
And, you know, here he is all these years later, and he's got San Diego State looking to advance to the Elite Eight for the very first time. You remember the story surrounding Dutcher and Fisher? Do you recall it at all?
No, no.
You know that the head coach of Michigan that year was a guy by the name of Bill Frieder.
Okay.
And famously, right before the tournament started in 1989, Bill Frieder took the job as the head coach at Arizona State. And he said to Bo Schembechler, the then...
I've heard that name.
You've heard that name. He said to Bo Schembechler at the time, hey, I'm going to be the coach at Arizona State, but I want to coach my team in the NCAA tournament. Bo Schembechler said, get out of here. And basically said, a Michigan man will coach Michigan.
Oh, wow.
And basically saying to Bill Frieder, you're obviously not a Michigan man any longer. Now, Bill Frieder's a hell of a guy, and we've seen him around town for years and years. But anyway, Steve Fisher was the top assistant.
Huh.
So he stepped in, took over as head coach just prior to the tournament in 1989, Brian Dutcher at his side, and won six straight games in the national title.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Yes. Wow.
Crazy story.
That is crazy.
All right. Anyway, there's Brian Dutcher. We'll hear more from him as the week goes on. And we'll talk plenty more about the Aztecs before their big game with Alabama. Trey Turner, the hottest hitter on the planet, strikes out with two runners aboard in the top of the third inning. So the U.S. goes down without scoring. They're going to the bottom of the third inning now. Japan 2, United States 1 in the World Baseball Classic Championship game. More Gwynn and Chris headed your way next.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
.536 is the time. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris, hello. Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. We got another segment to roll along here. And then... we're on our way to Peoria. Look for us on the 8 East.
On the road again.
Road again. Heading on out to Peoria. We'll be broadcasting live from Peoria tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. On the program, going to be talking about this Alabama Crimson Tide team with Nick Alvarez, AL.com. Of course, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding this Alabama team. Hopefully, they won't be able to put it all behind them in time for Friday night, although I expect that they will.
I mean, they've already been playing like they put it behind them.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, people are being critical of the Aztecs playing Chattanooga and playing Furman and saying, well, who have they beaten? Well, who's Alabama beaten? I mean, what did I say? Chattanooga, yeah. Charleston beat Charleston and Furman. So, you know, who have the Aztecs beaten? Well, first of all, they beat, you know, a team, Charleston, that was 31-3.
Yeah, pretty good.
And they beat a Furman team that knocked off Virginia and was kind of the Cinderella pick of the tournament. So, you know, first of all, they can only play the two teams they've been able to play, and they beat them both. Alabama's played Texas A&M, Corpus Christi.
That's true.
And Maryland. I don't know how great Maryland is. They were a 9 seed, an 8 seed. Alabama is 1-7 all time in Sweet 16 games. So they've not had a lot of success at this level either. And it's the old story. You always ask me, how can these upsets occur in the NCAA tournament, Scraby? And the way it occurs is a lower-seeded team plays a good 30, 35 minutes and it puts the pressure on a higher-seeded team coming down the stretch. Because all of a sudden, Alabama looks around and says, whoa, we're down 4.
We're about to lose.
We could lose. You know, we've got everything to play for. That's how you pull it off. It's easier said than done. We'll see if the Aztecs can do it on Friday. If you're wondering about the 5 seed against a 1 seed, Miami and Houston is the same matchup. They're also one versus five in that region. Last year, a 5 seed, which was Houston at the time, beat top seed Arizona in the Sweet 16. So can happen.
Yeah.
It has happened. It happened last year. Hopefully, it will happen again on Friday.
I don't really feel like at this point in the tournament, an upset can be really called an upset, because at this point, you've had to win 2 games.
Yeah, but I think this would be called, this has to be called an upset, just because the Aztecs are in a, quote, mid-major conference. Alabama's the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
Number one team in the tournament. You know,
it would be labeled that way for sure.
It's got to be labeled an upset if the Aztecs pull it off, and I only hope that they do. A couple of other notes of interest for the Sweet 16 games. Kansas State taking on Michigan State. If you're aware of this, Scraby, that's in the East Regional. Michigan State's the 7 seed there. Kansas State's the 3. Michigan State has won more games as a lower-seeded team than any team in the tournament ever.
It makes sense because they're always in it.
And they're always a little bit of a lower seed. They're always like a 5 or a 6 or a 7.
And I always pick against them, and then they always win.
Tom Izzo probably does the best job of any coach at having his team playing its best ball in March. Because you watch them in the tournament, and you're like, how'd they lose 13 games during the regular season?
Yeah.
They look so good. And Michigan State has won 19 games through the years.
That is a lot.
As a lower-seeded team. The Aztecs have won 0 in that category. So give you an idea of how many that is. Tom Izzo will be trying to make it 20 when Michigan State takes on Kansas State. UConn, a 4, takes on Arkansas, an 8. As much as I want to root against Eric Musselman, history says that the 8 seeds do very well when they get to the Sweet 16.
Really?
Yeah, they're 12-6 in this situation. Now, I think there's a reason why that is. Because for an 8 seed to get to the Sweet 16, they have to beat a 1 seed to get there.
That's true.
That's the only way they can get there. And if you've beaten a 1 seed, you're obviously going to have some pretty good confidence going forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, Arkansas's got that going for them. But we told you this note on UConn the other day. Both years the Aztecs have made the Sweet 16, UConn has been the eventual champion, 2011 and 2014. Both those are the two Sweet 16 seasons for the Aztecs.
Can't say it's going to happen this year, but if it does,
yeah, we'll be on to something.
Yes, there is something.
We'll be definitely on to something. All right, one more quick note. The ESPN did a ranking today of the greatest team in college basketball ever for all the teams that are in the Sweet 16.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's kind of complicated, but my point is UCLA is in the Sweet 16 this year.
Yeah.
They said the greatest UCLA team was back in 1971-72. Bill Walton and a bunch of guys like that went 30-0. And they say that's the best team of anybody. The Aztecs were chosen as the 13th best team.
Whoa.
And the team they chose was the...
Oh, 13 of 16, never
13 mind. Of 16. They chose the 2010-11 team, which had Kawhi Leonard, DJ Gay, Malcolm Thomas, Billy White, made it to the Sweet 16. They chose that as the greatest Aztec team ever. They said the next best Aztec team ever was 2013-14, which is the other team that made the Sweet 16. They conveniently left out the team that went 30-2
and
was ranked like number 2 in the entire nation when the COVID thing hit.
That's the unfortunate part about this is because no one will ever remember that season because there was no postseason. And Brian Dutcher was asked in his media today with with everybody. He said, if you win this game, will it feel better, you know, that you didn't get to play when you had a 30-2 team? And Dutcher said, no, that's always going to hurt.
That's always got to hurt, right? Yeah. They were 30-2. They were like number, what were they, 3-4 in the country?
Yeah,
at the
something
time?
Like that. I remember us doing undefeated watch almost every time that
they
played.
Well, they were the last undefeated team that year. Remember they made the San Diego State USA nation outline and they tweeted it out everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were the last undefeated team that year. 30-2.
Everybody forgets them. They shouldn't forget them, though.
Yeah, they shouldn't be forgotten in a story like this. I mean, you got to do your research a little better than that. I say.
I mean, Yanni Wetzel, how could we ever forget?
Yanni was dominant on the post.
He was dominant.
He was tough in there.
He really was.
All right, let's get to our traffic check, and Lynn will check in on the Alabama Crimson Tide with our guy from AL.com, Nick Alvarez.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is Nick Alvarez from the AL.com. Nick, thank you for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Let's talk a little bit about this Crimson Tide team. Everybody's excited out our way here in San Diego. Aztecs in a Sweet 16. This is a daunting task, though. This is the number one team, really number one seed overall in this tournament. Tell us a little bit about this team. We know about Miller. How has this team kind of come together over the course of the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. This is, I think, at least in my opinion, far away one of the best teams in the country. Maybe Houston has a case, but this team, I mean, all year had Brandon Miller. It had some rotating bigs who were, like, playing well individually at certain points of the season. They're all now playing together. Charles Bediako, their starting center. Noah Clowney, they're starting kind of stretch four. They actually have a backup power forward, graduate senior, who's nicknamed Stretch, and Noah Gurley. Then, you know, throughout the season, their guard depth, I think, really improved. And that's kind of where you're seeing some of the success in March. Javon Quinterly, you know, March JQ, he is a SEC Tournament Player of the Year 2 years ago, Sixth Man of the Year this year, inserted into the starting lineup in the postseason. He's coming back from an ACL tear from last year's NCAA tournament. He's been like a star right now. Namari Burnett, Jaden Bradley, Mark Sears, their depth is incredible. And I know the Aztecs have some great depth too, so that's where I think this matchup gets interesting. But there's not many teams in the country that can roll out, you know, 10, 12 top-tier players. And there's even a few of them, you know, I forgot to mention in that little spiel. So
yeah, so much for hoping that a bunch of guys get into foul trouble. They'll have a bunch of guys they can still bring in.
Nick Alvarez is with us from
AL.com. You know, Nick, I was looking at Alabama's history in the NCAA tournament, and I don't have it as specific probably as you guys have it down there, but from what I'm checking, from what I've gathered, that they've been to eight Sweet 16s in the last 30, 40 years since the tournament expanded, et cetera. They've only been to the Elite Eight once. So it seems like the Aztecs have never been to an Elite Eight. I know everybody expects Alabama to win, but is this a key moment for this program in terms of trying to get somewhere they've rarely been before?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, aside from kind of the off-the-court stuff, that is, you know, as much a part of this team season as the basketball stuff, this team is undoubtedly the best in program history. The number one ranking they got earlier this season, some of their quality wins over top teams in the tournament, they're expected to go to the Final Four this year for the first time ever. And when you look at the way their bracket, the side of the bracket shook out in the first weekend, you know, Arizona State or Arizona loses, Baylor loses. The window's kind of opening up. And one of the last teams that I think matches up well with Alabama is probably San Diego State. You know, no shade, of course, to Creighton or Princeton. Like, I just think the way it shakes up, like, it's expected that Alabama goes to Houston. Like, they just have that talent. They're not going to be, you know, favored by any fewer than, you know, 5 points by, you know, at least next weekend. So I think for as big of a moment as this is for the Aztecs, like, the Crimson Tide fans have been traveling this year for basketball because I think they know they're witnessing something potentially special.
Nick Alvarez joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, AL.com. And, Nick, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the controversy. Obviously, Brandon Miller has been one of the best players in the country. He's also had some controversy following. What went into the thought process in terms of allowing Brandon Miller to continue to play through some of the side things that were going on off the court?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think when you look at kind of what happened on January 15th, where at least everyone can agree that three Alabama players were there that night, and a fourth that's kind of in dispute with the New York Times, a story from last week, but the overall sentiment is that Alabama has not punished players that legally have done no wrong. The authorities and the university has said multiple times that Jaden Bradley and Miller have been cleared of any wrongdoing. So in their case, that's why they have not missed a game.
Right.
That happened about 2 months ago. And I think where some people have the moral questions of kind of the decision-making of that night, you know, from an Alabama standpoint, they've been cleared, they've been cooperative. They've said publicly that, you know, it's a tragic situation, and that's about it. So they're just trying to keep it on the basketball.
Tell us a little bit about Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama. I don't think we know – not a lot of people know a lot about, you know, where he's from, how he's built his program to where it is now. I know he's worn the checkered coat in the past as a nod to the great old Alabama coach Wim Sanderson. But tell us about Nate Oates and how he handled some of the controversy, because that kind of came down on him as well.
Sure. I definitely think there were some regrettable things said there. That's kind of been circulating in the news today with Saban's press conference last night. But, I mean, from a basketball standpoint, Oates, I mean, he comes from a Michigan high school, Romulus, I believe the name of it was. And in that and learning from other programs at the high school and collegiate level, developed this kind of kick-out, really interesting offensive three-point system that's analytics-based, succeeded in Buffalo, came to Alabama, and this year-over-year has kind of matched the recruiting with a kind of a better understanding of implementing his play style at the SEC level. And then off the court, there was a really interesting story in the Washington Post written by Kent Babb that kind of examined that, like, over the years, Oates has been, you know, a pretty thorough advocate of being a player's coach in terms of making sure his guys can play and you have to get into some off the court situations, you know, trying to find a way to rectify it that doesn't include missing game time. And I think in this instance, I think there was kind of an information gap. I don't believe Alabama knew that Miller had received a text from Darius Miles asking him to bring his gun to the scene. I believe Greg Byrne, the athletic director, mentioned that he found that out when the public did, when the trial resumed in February. And I think Oates, at certain times in that initial part of the controversy in February, did not know what the public knew. And when he spoke, there's kind of a disconnect of like, hey, wait a minute here. And I think it's kind of added some fuel to the fire, unfortunately.
Let's talk about Brandon Miller on the court. He has been dynamic in every which way. But he has had games where he has struggled. What gives Brandon Miller trouble on the court, or is it Brandon Miller's best opponent is himself?
Yeah, I mean, I might push back a little bit. Like, I don't think I've seen a game this year, at least since the new year, that where Brandon Miller struggled. Like, he went 0-for-5 in the first round of the tournament against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And like he had a bum groin. I think he played about 19 minutes. They wanted to keep him under 20. And I think some of the writers on Press Row, you kind of looked at each other like, oh, we didn't even realize that. Like, we kind of noticed the stat, but they were still winning by 20. I think he still had, you know, 4 or 5 rebounds, a couple of assists. I mean, he can block. Like, when he decides he wants the ball, he is so athletic to get to the rim. When he decides he wants to block, he can get that there too. I think maybe more kind of fluctuating part of his game, which can affect his stat line and his output of three-point shooting, you know, sometimes like he did in the second round against Maryland, his shot will not fall or will not miss. And then the other times where I think he kind of a little bit too much movement on the shot and will lead to some rimming out. But it's a dynamic scorer inside. Defensively, Maryland went at him a little bit. I think they're trying to test his groin. He's been practicing this week, but you know, intermittently sitting out in live portions, according to Nate Oates. So there might be kind of something with the groin there that would limit his production. But from an on-the-court standpoint, I think your best bet, and what this is what they were saying in the Texas A&M Corpus Christi locker room after the game, is like, just be physical and kind of hope he starts missing.
You know, I'm looking at Alabama's schedule. We're talking to Nick Alvarez of AL.com, talking about the Crimson Tide. I'm looking for any weakness that I can find, and I just can't find any. I mean, come on. They beat two number one teams this year and in a span of three games. They beat North Carolina. They beat Houston when they were number one. I mean, their only losses are to all good teams. They beat Arkansas twice, a team that the Aztecs faced. You know, there's very few reasons to think that, this team isn't everything that they've been, built up to be. As far as the Aztecs are concerned, what are you hearing about the Aztecs? What are people in Alabama expecting? And are they comparing the Aztecs to anybody the Crimson Tide have faced this year?
I think so. We're going to be getting to talk to them on Thursday after getting a couple days of preparation. But in this kind of reading the quotes of what the Aztec head coach mentioned on, I think, his weekly radio show, what Oates mentioned on his radio show up here last night, the teams kind of match up well in terms of there's a lot of depth, a lot of defensive first focus. I mean, people lose sight of that with Alabama, that like over the last couple of weeks, they have not been playing their best basketball overall, I would say, especially on the offensive end, but defensively, I think they've been, you know, as locked in as any team in the country. So I think Maryland tried to slow the pace down as much as it could. It ran into some foul trouble and didn't really have the depth to handle it. Kind of limit possessions, force Alabama's offense to be more stop and start. But when you kind of look at the matchup and the kind of recipes for an Alabama loss, I think it has to start with Alabama not shooting the ball well from three, because they're going to attempt them no matter what. But if they're just kind of off night, that's a bit of an opening. Granted, they've shown they can score inside, but hey, two is less than three. And then I think when you go to offensively, you're going to have to prove that you can score inside, because they're going to funnel you in there. And if you have the bodies to rotate through, Bediako is great on guards. He's an okay one-on-one defender with a big. So, there's some opportunities, but a lot has to fall into place because I think Alabama's, margin for error is so large.
Nick, last one for me. We kind of talked a little bit about the some of the losses that Crimson Tide. They only had five over the course of the season. Is there any similarities in these five losses they had? Gonzaga being one, North Carolina, I believe, early. Where is there any similarities, or were these just five one-offs?
Other than the poor shooting, which I think I've touched on, I would say the turnovers. Alabama's guards are efficient, but there are some times where they can be a little indecisive between throwing it up for the lob or going to score themselves. They've been better at that lately, but if you look at their losses, I believe in all but one of them, they've had at least 19 turnovers in their losses.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you coming on today and kind of giving us.
If you could do us a favor and talk to the head coach and say you talk to the people in San Diego, and from what you can tell, the Aztecs really don't have much of a team, and maybe they should start looking ahead to the game on Sunday. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no, sounds good. I mean, I would love. I'm hoping for a good game. I want a close one. A nail biter would be fun. The teams are made of.
I think we all are hoping for the same thing. Maybe different outcomes, but certainly we all hope we have a good game. Nick, thanks for coming on today, spending some time with us.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, guys.
That was Nick Alvarez from AL.com on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Yeah, we know Alabama's good. Blah, 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 blah. All right, we're coming at you live from Peoria tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Make sure you're with us. United States trails Japan 3-1 now. Top of the fifth, U.S. batting down by two. We'll total it all up when we talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.